Merry Christmas. I'm Aaron, and I got wrecked by O Holy Night. Just started crying like a baby, because I am, and I have no problem admitting it. I'm blessed to be one of your pastors. I got a chance this week to join 18 young people who are taking a year out of their life to grow in Christ, to some of them to come to know him really for the first time, and others are just saying, God, I want to take this time to dedicate to you, to hear your voice, and to grow in you. And it was wonderful. It's really humbled to be with them. I actually was invited to come and teach them. As it often goes for me, they taught me a whole lot more than I could teach them, and I was really blessed by that. And so it made me just think a whole lot about what we're talking about. We went through 1 Kings and how they wanted a king so bad, and they already had one. You know, had happened prior to that, and now the bunch of kings that they had after, they said, God, we don't want you to be our king. We need a king like all the people around us. And their first king was Saul, and he was literally a hot mess. And then David came in, and he's considered the best king ever, and he was great, but he too was a hot mess, and he needed help, and he kept coming back to Yahweh. And think about that just for a little bit. He's called the king, a man after God's own heart. He said, there's a man after my own heart. He was pursuing God's heart. God had put it on his heart to be a man after him. He had a lot of things happen in his life, and he pursued God. He was anointed at 17, and then it was a long time before he became the king. And yet it was all prep, but he still wasn't the king. He was a king. The king is God. Listen to this. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Come on now. I love that it's a Christmas song. I love Christmas season. It's just been a fun thing for me since I was a little kid. But Jesus truly is the reason for this season. Jesus truly is the reason why we have anything to celebrate, why we have breath, for goodness sake, in our lungs. And just the opportunity that we're about to take to give an offering is so symbolic of the fact that we give of our lives because he gave first. We'll make much of Jesus. I get chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation today, and it's all about the king. Casey, thank you for, like, not just loosening the pickle jar, but serving it up, dude. You just came right to it. Of course, I've still got a couple things to talk about, but that was just so amazing. I needed that. So let's take this morning's offering, and then let's get into this Emmanuel, God with us, who's holy, holy, holy. He's the Lord God Almighty. And oh yeah, he's a slain lamb. You thought you might be having a bad day? Lord, thanks for today. We love you. We're grateful for you. Have your way in us. Have your way through us. God, all around us today. Show us your power. Show us your might. Show us your gentleness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Emmanuel, I wanted to go back a little bit to where Emmanuel comes from. And we got a little bit of it last week when we heard from Colleen, our women's director. And so I'm going to go to Isaiah. Oh, thanks, Pete. Isaiah 7:14. So this is a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Anybody besides me ask God for a sign? Just at any point. It's okay. Go ahead. They're like, God, just show me. Does she like me? Check yes or no, right? I mean, like, God, come on through for me. Well, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, look, the virgin shall conceive. That just is what? Yeah, virgins conceive, right? No, this is like a shout out to how this is going to work out. She's going to conceive without the benefit of how normal people conceive. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, church, what? Is he with us? Anybody besides me not just ask for a sign, but wonder sometimes, are you still here? I was just wondering because, you know, it doesn't look like it sometimes. We'll just kick over. Sorry, I forgot to tell you, if you don't have Bibles, we love you and we want you to have a Bible. There's some underneath your seats. There's the text up here. You might have a Bible app and it might remind you to keep reading. So listen to it. We're going to go just a couple pages over, page 573 in these black Bibles, to Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. And remember, this is the Emmanuel. This is the God of the universe. For to us a child is born. Let it blow your mind for a second. I mean, we're going to have a child was born, right? Conceived of a virgin, born Emmanuel, God with us. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth, and how long? Forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God's about it. He wants it. He's bringing this forth. This is such good news. Merry Christmas. Emmanuel, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So I invite you today, come, let us adore him. Let's adore Jesus. Let's be about him. Yes, in church. Gosh, this is a great place to practice as a church service. But a long time ago, I heard Tony Evans say, now listen up, y'all. We don't go and fill up on gas and just sit there and idle. We go ahead and get outside and we go and do all of our things. Then we come back up and fill up and we go out and do it again. And so that's the invitation for us. Right, we fill up and then we go out and you keep filling up as you're out. Oh my goodness, what a great invitation. Come, let us adore him. We'll start here and we'll take it there. Deal? Okay. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation 4. Last week, as we're turning there, last week, we talked about some really cool things, but most importantly, we got letters read to us. What stands out to you from last week if you were here? It's okay. Just anything. Don't remember? All right. That's honest. You said out loud what a number of people's faces were doing just now. No, I know you got some stuff in there. What stands out? You were listening. Say it again. Well, okay, two actually didn't really get any correction. They were just like, good work. So I love you. You're right. We all have stuff to improve on those two. Smyrna and Philadelphia, he's like, good job, y'all. Keep going. So that improvement, I guess. Keep going. Sorry. Now you're like, good. I answered. You corrected me. Nobody else is going to answer. Are we good, Teach? All right, thanks.
Jesus does not like lukewarmness.
Jesus does not like lukewarmness. Okay, this is true. He actually vomits it out of his mouth. I'd like consistently go like that, like just as a joke. There's no joke with Jesus. What else? All right. Say that again. Call to righteousness. This right standing, right, this right way of living, first of all and foremost, is only bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he gives us his righteousness, his right standing before God. and we receive it and we live it out. Good. Last one. Anybody else? I thought you started to say something.
I like the fact that he says that he who has ears, let him listen. Mm-hmm. Obey, because he could have used any other way of saying, hey, listen up.
Yep.
But saying he who has ears is like, you got your ears on your head, listen up.
That's so good. Our pediatrician, who's slowly moving into retirement, and it's sad for us, she's a wonderful Iranian woman, and she says, Dad, I did their hearing. They're fine. If they're not listening, it's because they don't want to. I was like, okay. Like, gosh, tell me the truth. So you're about to see the word throne 14 times in this chapter alone. The word throne. Sometimes it's talking about God's throne. Now there's a throne for the Lamb, who is also God. It's God the Father, God the Son. And then there's 24 thrones. 14 times. In the whole book of Revelation, it's 46 times. So over a third, basically. We're going to hear right here in this one chapter. And so when something's repeated over and over again, my mom would consistently say, if I say it over and over again, I mean it. And then she would say, don't make me repeat myself. And I was like, that's kind of a mixed message. And then I got in trouble. Just listen to me. And so please listen to this. I want to tell you, no matter what, God is on his throne. I want to tell you that we're going to see some things about who's on the throne. We're going to see about what comes from the throne. We're going to see who's before the throne. And we're going to see who's around the throne. And I'm going to let you know that though people get thrones, they don't get the throne. Now, last week we heard that God says, come on, I'm going to let you sit on the throne with me. We've actually made that decision often in our lives, and we need to repent of it. Like, I'm going to, hey, God, scooch. He's not like, oh, okay. He's God. Let that be an invitation. Let him be God. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let's worship him in word, in deed, in heart. So here we go. After all the letters, John says, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Exclamation point. Like, whoa, what? There's a door open in heaven. I could see it, he says. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here. And I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. Church, remember, he's always on his throne. I want to let you know that we're about to hear and see, if you will, in your mind's eye at least, a bunch of images. A bunch of images in so many ways that are repeated from what was already spoken long ago. Like so long ago, like the book of Genesis. So I have some bonus for you. If you're a note taker, you write this down. If you're a picture taker, you can write this down. Here it is. Check out these many images that we're going to see in Genesis 9, 8 through 17, Exodus 19, 16 through 19, and Exodus 25, 31 through 40, 2 Chronicles 4, 2 through 6, Ezekiel 1, Daniel 7 through 9, or 7, 9, and honestly, so many, many more. But there's just a few for you to go and check it out. So, verse 3. So there's one seated on the throne, verse 2. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper, which was like a clear, unbelievable, even diamond-like gem. So the one sitting on the throne looked like a diamond. And carnelian, which is like ruby or red. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. John just talked about Christmas colors. How cool is that? I can't make this stuff up. I would try, and it would just be lame. He's trying to explain, again, something that's super hard to explain. He who was on the throne was like these diamonds and these rubies. And then all around him was a complete circle. There was a rainbow. And that rainbow was like emerald. It was gorgeous. Remember, the rainbow is a promise, right? Well, this promise is completely fulfilled. It's a full circle. Wow. Aaron, why are you tripping? Because God's awesome. That's why. I ain't tripping. Although I am sometimes. Okay. Verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Lots of questions about these people. 24, a lot of people think it's representative of us that are in Christ and that are conquerors, and I believe that as well. I love the idea that it could be like the 12 tribes and then the 12 apostles, and so it's the whole of people that are in God. There's 24 different levels of priesthood. There's so many people that just are like, wow, that's amazing. Can we just say that they're there? They've got crowns, they've got thrones, and they're part of the story. And because of Jesus, we can be too. What a great invitation. What a great truth. And we'll move on to verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. If you've just caught up with us, God doesn't have seven little spirits. This is this completion, this perfection. It's the Holy Spirit is there. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. What? That's just weird. Four creatures with, and you're going to hear this later on too, that there's eyes like all over creatures. Holiness, see everything. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. Cool. Weird, but cool, right? Like, what are they doing there? So you've got angels, and you've got these 24 thrones, which I don't believe those people that are on there are angels at all. I believe that they're elders, like it says, and they've been like overcomers, and they're there. And then you've got these four creatures. And a lot has been talked about, a lot has been taught about these. And I can just tell you, I believe this is representative of creation. It made me think, and then I found some notes, and I was like, Aaron, wow, your mind, it works like other smart people sometimes. And it was cool. And I looked in Genesis, and it talks about, you know, creation, including man and birds and beasts and cattle. And I think it's just a grand reminder that our God is the God of all creation. I love it. We can talk about beasts being like servants and the Lion of Judah, and he was the Son of Man, and he's majestic like an eagle. All that's cool. I went with the simple route here. He's the God of all creation, including today. Amen, anybody?
Amen.
Okay, just in case. It's so lame when I have to ask for an amen. That's my fault. I'm trying to be affirmed. Amen. Now you amen me. All right. I see you. Verse 8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, this is Yahweh, the 24 elders fall down before him who's seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. Then they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they exist and were created. This is not a popular message in our world. And I could not care less. I'm just like, it's Jesus all day, always. God, Yahweh, created, he spoke in the world. Indeed, the universes leapt into existence. This is who we're worshiping during Christmas and always. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. So I ask you, what is he worthy of to you? Amen. Let's say it. We can say everything. Does that include your pocketbook? Oh, man, you had to go right there? Could you just kind of ease into it a little bit?
He deserves all our praise.
He deserves all our praise. He deserves praise when things are going great. He deserves praise when things are going poorly. He deserves your love life. He deserves what we put into our bodies. Is this a worship experience for you? What is he worthy of? Our best. Holy smokes, you guys, I have got so many questions for God, and sometimes I get answers. Sometimes I don't. You know, I used to be a dude that would say, hey, when I get to heaven, I got some questions for God. 24 elders with thrones and crowns on their head hear this song bust out, and they don't go, hold up real quick. Got some questions for you. Hold on. I mean, yeah, but this song over and over again. Can we, a new song, please? No, they fall down on their face before God. They throw their crowns down. We've talked so much, well, I'm going to have a crown in heaven, and it's going to have this and that and cool, and it's even Bible, right? We hear about it, and yet that's not what's a big deal to them. They throw those down before the king because he's worthy. He's worthy of worship. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of obedience. He's worthy of your love. He's worthy of your affection. He's worthy of you saying, you're actually more important to me than me. Gosh, I want to get amped up about this. Let's see if I can. Let's keep going. Chapter 5. I'll try to stop at 4 just for a second. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Who's that on the throne again? It's always good to remember that. I just thought we would go back to that. When I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back. No room for anything else. It's complete. And it was sealed with 7 seals. It was completely sealed. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. I know this is just like really easy, and I'm trying to like get you into not just the holiday or the Christmas spirit, but into the worship spirit, into the excitement of who God is. Who's worthy to open that up? Yeah, I mean, we're about to read it, the Lamb and Jesus. But look, this is redemption. There's something important on this. It's in God's right hand, for goodness sake. And it's got all these seals, and it's got right in front and back. It's a complete document. We're about to find out that it's a redemption document for God's will, for his testimony to be said. It has to be opened, and nobody can open it. And John's like, woo, and he's loud about it. Verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open up the scroll and its 7 seals. Man, this is rich. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's the King of Kings. He's the root of David. He happens to be the son of David, but he's the root of David. How does that work out? Because he's both. He's theoanthropos. That's a big boy word, right? Somebody else taught it to me. I didn't come up with it. Theo being God, anthropos being man. He's God-man. 100% God, 100% man. He overcame. Church, look at how he overcame. This is so remarkable. Please understand, not only is he worthy, but he's worthy because of what he's done. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes, which if this was like for real and somebody's drawn a picture of it, which they have, it's gruesome. It's weird. And these seven eyes, seven horns, the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. This is God. This is Jesus, the Lamb of God. And he went, and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. How did Jesus overcome? How was he able to be worthy to open the scroll? Go ahead, church. The answer is in the description. He was slain. He's worthy. He's worthy to be followed. He's worthy to be obeyed. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be talked about. He's worthy to be emulated. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, follow me as I follow Christ. Great invitation. Verse 8, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. We're going to hear a lot more about this next week, but here's what's powerful, just so deep. The Lamb, people worship and follow. We were called to be like sheep. Check this out. Our shepherd was a slain lamb. Let that sink in for a second. He's worthy because of sacrifice. He's worthy because of laying himself down. The most unassuming, the most majestic thing that we could see in all these descriptions is a slain lamb. And yet, he's worthy. Look at what happens. They all fall down. Man, this is profound. They fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You and I get to be here. We get to be a part of this. You can right now, praying for God's kingdom, God's way, God's rule and reign. Pray for people everywhere. And then they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them a kingdom, priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. I had to write down a couple of things this morning. It just jumped out to me. This is a new song. It's praise, and it's also a gospel song. You died, and you rose from the dead. You bled. It's a declaration. Look, it's declaring that every tribe and language and people and nation get to be in the kingdom. You know, your kids are learning downstairs about missionaries. The greatest missionary is the Lamb. I heard a story a long time ago, and it goes a little bit like this. There was a man who was tired of the fact that Americans weren't making disciples of their nation, so he was against foreign missions. Now, I think it's John Piper who's been credited with saying that missions exist, like you have to go and tell the good news to everybody, because worship doesn't exist. I mean, worship exists, but not worship of the Lamb, right? And so he said, go out and tell. So this man finds himself at this missionary meeting. And he's like, oh, great. And he can't get up and get out. And so what he does, he just sits there. And then they pass the bag. And it comes to him. And he says to the usher, I don't support foreign missions. He goes, well, then you should take some money out of it, because it's for people who don't follow God. Yeah. Woo. Yikes. Do we tell the world about Jesus? Why should we? Because he's worthy. And he deems us worthy to be part of his story. Tell the world. This song is a declaration. This song is about identity. You've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. He's worthy. He's worthy. So worship God. Worship God. This is so good for me. They say with this loud voice, he's worthy. What about you? Do you know that you can talk about God all day long in so many places, still to this day? Maybe except for public school and a workplace. Just recently, and I think you shared this, Brandon, I think this is where I saw this. I think it was in Illinois. The Satanic Temple was able to put up this snake tree, basically. Is that what it was?
It was in Arkansas.
It was Arkansas. Hey, hometown. All right. Home state. Sorry. Of all these snakes, you know what Franklin Graham said? Somebody needs to tell them that the snake got his head crushed by the baby. We are so held back by fear, by the desire to be kind and gentle and respectful, and those are really, really good things. The fear thing, we should have awe and reverence for the Lamb. They had a loud voice. This is what we're going to do for eternity. Let's get going. Let's tell the truth. Let's make much of this Lamb. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever. Look, we started with the worship of the one who sits on the throne. This is God. This is Yahweh, God the Father. And they're like, whoa, there's a new song. Look at the Lamb. We're going to worship him. Now we worship them. Is this different gods? No, this is God in his manifold glory. He's showing off. Give him blessing. Give him honor, glory, might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. I knew this part was coming, and I kind of set you up for it. But do you say amen to the Lamb? Do you say amen to this Emmanuel, God with us, who came and is with us alongside and doesn't always remove the pain and the agony. Do you say amen to the one that runs the universe? I'm sure you guys remember my pre-Christian nephew told my entire family what the word amen means. So be it, he says. Let it be so is another way to say it. I grew up, I was in the hip hop scene, and we would say word. So be it, amen, word. It is all about the Lamb. You're gonna see him unpack and unleash all kinds of stuff next week. I pray that you would read Revelation 6 through 11 in preparation. I invite you to say amen with your life, not just with your mouth. It's time. It's time for us to get going. I want to ask, enjoy today. Enjoy some fellowship. Go hang out there. That would be wonderful. But if you'd like to be prayed for, to be encouraged, to praise God, please come forward. If you'd like to pray with people, please come forward. This is a good time for it. Let's celebrate. There's going to be music, and it'll be kind of loud, but we'll be able to pray. And you know, the cool thing is that God can hear us. But I'd love to pray with you right now and then have you come up, and we can pray. And I'm not the only one who can pray. If you can pray and you're willing to pray with people, can you just put your hand up real quick? Okay, there's a few of you, a few of us. Come on up. You guys can come on up, and we'll pray. Father God, I thank you that you are so awesome. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the slain lamb, that you laid down your life, that you are worthy of honor, praise, and glory, and power, and might. Even saw in there wealth. God, would you help us to give of ourselves because you gave first. God, that we would forgive because we've been forgiven. We would love because we've been loved. We would give because we've been given too. God, what a great time of the year, and not just to buy stuff, but to give of our time, to give, Lord, of really what seems most limited for us. And that would be attention. God, I'm about to be blessed to go and see the Seahawks play tomorrow night, and I will not be quiet, and that is so temporary. I refuse to be quiet about you. You're eternal. Have your way in us. Have your way through us. Take away anything that's wrong and nasty and distracted in us, and help us to fix our eyes on you in marriage, in parenting, in driving, in working, and schooling. You're worthy. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas.